before we begin this morning,
在我们今天开始以前,
I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to be with you today.
我谢谢你们让我今天可以与你们在一起。
I'd like to begin with a small statistic.
我要开始用一些统计的数目。
The average tenure for a youth worker in a church spans usually sometime between 18 months and 4 years.
一般来讲, 一个教会的青年辅导工作人, 他的职业的生命通常是18个月到 how many years?
Between 18 months and 4 years.
4年, 就是从18个月到4年。
And 5 years ago on this Sunday,
5年以前这一个礼拜天,
I began work here as the youth leader at Minnesota Mandarin Christian Church.
我开始在这个教会做青少年辅导的领导工作。
And my wife and I have greatly appreciated the time and the ministry that the Lord has given to us here.
我太太跟我都很感激神给我们这个机会，给我们这个事工。
And so with that, let's open with a word of prayer.
我们一起祷告。
Father, as we examine a very practical issue of Christian life this morning,
天父，我们今天早上要思考一个对基督徒生命很实际的一个问题。
We pray that your Holy Spirit would be working in the hearts of the people who are sitting here this morning, Father.
天父，我们求你的圣灵在今天坐在这里的每一个人心中动工。
That we would not only be people who strive to live in a manner that's pleasing to your Son,
我们是一些现在生活在生命中想要紧紧地抓住你的儿子。
But that the words that come out of our mouth would be consistent with the Christian life that we claim to live.
但是我们嘴里面所说的话跟我们像自己所认为有的生命并不相称。
We pray in our Son's precious name.
我们靠你儿子宝贵的名祷告。
Amen. The book of James was written by the brother of Jesus. This is not the James, the apostle mentioned, who was killed in Acts chapter
12.
The James of the book of James was the pastor of the church in Jerusalem mentioned in Acts 15.
这是在雅各书15章所说的耶路撒冷一个教会的牧者。
And this is quite likely the first book written within the New Testament itself.
这很可能是新约圣经里面所写的第一本书。
And it's probably originally a sermon or a series of sermon outlines that James had preached during his ministry in Jerusalem.
很可能这是雅各在耶路撒冷牧会的第一封所写的。
And it's sometimes known as the Proverbs of the New Testament. James, the brother of Jesus, is dealing with very practical issues. He deals with trials and temptations within the early church. He deals with questions of prejudice within the church. Of faith and works and prayer. And there are many number of other issues that he deals with in this book. But I'd like to focus on one of them specifically this morning. When I was a child, I was raised in a Christian home. And there are certain words that simply were not to be spoken by Christians. In the English language, they were considered inappropriate, vulgar, profane, and cursing. As a young child, I had unknowingly learned one of these new words. And so I came home and I used it in the presence of my mother. I was promptly taken to the restroom. And two things proceeded to happen. Number one, my mouth was literally washed out with soap. My mother put the bar of soap in my mouth. And said, if you're going to use dirty language, we need to clean your mouth. And so I learned very quickly that there were things that a Christian was not supposed to say. And so what my mother said to me was to watch your mouth. And really, this is the entire message of the passage that we just read. And mind you, that what we are speaking about this morning is not simply words that Christians are not supposed to say. But it's going to deal with conceptions of lying, of slander, of gossip, and of cursing. And so his preface really begins in chapter 3, verse 1.
所以这个开始是在第三章第一节开始。
And it begins with a warning for teachers. And he says, my brethren, be not many teachers, knowing that they shall receive the greater condemnation.
他说,我的弟兄们,不要多人做师父,因为晓得我们更,要受更重的判断。
The responsibility of standing before a group of people and proclaiming the word of God is a grave responsibility. It is a frightening responsibility. It has been said that Charles Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers of the 1800s, was pastor of a church in England, was heard to be said as he was standing up, getting ready to preach in the pulpit, I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Because he understood the gravity of the responsibility of preaching the Word of God to the people of God. If you're here this morning, and you've been working and serving in this church for a number of years, and perhaps you are a teacher within this church, be warned. Be careful with what you say to the people of God. For your judgment will be greater. And so from the remainder of this passage that we read this morning, James has given us three different points. And for each point, he gives us two metaphors or two illustrations by which we can understand. And the first point is found in verses 2 through 5. And this is that the tongue is a reflection of the rest of the body. Let me put this in other terms. What is inside of your heart will inevitably come out on your lips. And so just the same, the person who is able to control what is coming out of his mouth is a person who has control over his emotions that are in his heart. And so James says in verse 2, in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and is able to bridle the whole body. Within regular human experience, we know from Romans 3 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have this inner sin nature against which we must consistently battle. And thus it is almost inevitable in the Christian life that we will fail and that we will offend someone with our words. And so James says, if the one who does not offend in word is a perfect man and is able to bridle the whole body. And what James is going to say is that if you can discipline yourself to control your tongue, that you can discipline yourself to live the rest of the Christian life in a manner that is pleasing to God. And so he gives two metaphors, one in verse 3 and one in verse 4. Verse 3 states, behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body.
So, 第三节他说,
how many people here have ever ridden on the horse? A few of you have. But when you have a horse, you put a saddle on its back usually. And you have reins that are coming from the front of his head. And the reins are attached to a bit in the horse's mouth. And the bit in the horse's mouth makes it so that you can turn the horse's head. Because the horse is an incredibly streamlined creature. It doesn't turn very easily. And so if you turn the horse's head, you inevitably turn the whole body. And so the first metaphor is that of a bit in a horse, that if you can control your words, you can control your actions. The second metaphor is found in verse 4.
It
says, behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they turned about with very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth.
看,船虽然盛大,又被大风吹逼,只用小小的舵就能够掌舵的意思转动。
Here in Minnesota,
在明尼苏达,
there are many people that love their boats.
很多人都喜欢他们的船。
Number of my co-workers at work,
我有一个同事在工作的同事,
they have a cabin on the lake.
他们在湖边有一个房子。
And on the weekends, they go out and they take their boat out and they'll go fishing. When we go to the retreat to Mount Carmel every year, there's the big boat that everyone likes to ride on. And the big boat is controlled by a little tiny steering wheel. And a little tiny steering wheel controls one of two things. It controls a rudder which can turn the boat. Or the motor itself is attached to a rudder. And so with a little tiny steering wheel, you can turn an entire boat. In the same way, James is saying, if you control your tongue, you are able to control the rest of your body. It takes discipline to think before you speak. And if you have the discipline to think before you speak, you have the discipline to think before you act. And so he says in verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindles. A person's tongue is relatively small in relation to the rest of his body. But because of what comes out of the mouth, as the Bible says out elsewhere, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Even so, the one who controls his tongue can control the rest of his life. And so the tongue is a reflection of the rest of the body, and I would say of the rest of the Christian life. Second, the uncontrolled tongue is dangerous. Verse 6. Even so, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So the tongue among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets the fire on the course of nature and is set on the fire of hell. The description here is the tongue being given as a fire. In the state of Arizona in the late summertime, there's annual dangers of massive wildfires. My mother was driving home back home to Phoenix once from up north. And about, she had blown a tire and she managed to stop her car about 100 yards down the road with a blown tire. And so the state trooper came and helped her to change the tire. And it just so happens that at the exact point where her tire had blown, the rim of her car gave off a spark. And that spark, that tiny little spark in an instant, set off a small wildfire. And it burnt about 3 or 4 square acres. So a tiny fire, a tiny spark, can do massive amounts of damage. And so he's saying that the tongue, that the words that we speak, can set off entire fires. And it's so bad that James describes it as the fire of hell.
So,
Did you know that your words can hurt? The words which you speak can hurt other people's feelings. You may insult or offend someone and have no idea that you did. And so he gives two metaphors here. This first metaphor we've seen is a fire. The second one is wild animals.
It
says in verse 7, every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and things in the sea is tamed and has been tamed of mankind. When I was growing up as a child, in our house we always had two dogs and one cat. Those dogs were very well trained. You could take one of the dogs. His name was Bear. And you could put a plate full of wonderful savory meat covered with a spoonful of gravy right in front of him. And you could see him begin to salivate as he just stared at it. And he would look at my dad and he would give a little whimper. But he would not touch the food unless my father looked at him, pointed at him, and said, okay, Bear. He waited for permission. It's a well-trained animal. I've seen birds before that can sing songs, that can seemingly speak words. It's a well-trained bird. And so James is saying that all of these kinds of animals and beasts and snakes can be tamed. But the tongue cannot be tamed. Now, mind you, it can be controlled. But as sinful human beings in a lost and fallen world, we will still struggle with our tongues. We may have to stop ourselves mid-sentence or mid-phrase when we realize the words that are coming out of our mouths. We will inevitably need to apologize and ask forgiveness for the words that we say. Because as James says in verse 8, the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Your words are dangerous. Your words, whether you realize them or not, are poisonous. Your words have a great potential for evil that you cannot control. And so with James, I caution you this morning, watch your mouth. And so the tongue is a reflection of the rest of the body. Second, the uncontrolled tongue is dangerous. And third, the divided tongue is forbidden. Look what it says in verse
9.
Therewith bless we God, even the Father. Therewith curse we men, and which are made after the similitude of God. How can it be that with our words we can bless and praise the living and true God? And then turn around and speak our opinion publicly, perhaps of another member of our church, and say what kind of terrible person they must be. Out of the same mouth comes blessings and curses. We bless God, we put up our hands, and we say, praise the Lord for all that He has done. And then we turn around and we say, I can't believe that person is even still coming to church. What kind of person are they? James says it this way in chapter 1, verse 7.
在第一章第七节,
chapter 1, verse 8.
第八节,
a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And in the same way, our tongues are really two-sided.
同样的,
we, as natural human beings in a lost and fallen world, have split tongues. On the one hand,
在另一方面,
we can give compliments to a person. And we can turn around and insult someone else. And both of them are made in the image of God. And so how can you bless God and curse the one who's made in His image? And as James says here in verse 10, my brethren, these things ought not to be so. It's simply put, not right. And so he then gives two metaphors of consistency. The first one is in verse 11.
第一个隐性是在第十一节。
Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter?
泉源从一个眼里能发出甜苦两样的水吗?
Now imagine if you're thirsty.
想象假如你是渴的,
and you go to a water fountain. And you drink the water. And at the exact same, at the same instant,
在同一时间里面,
it tastes like sugar.
它喝起来像糖,
and it tastes like salt.
也喝起来像盐,
coming out of the same fountain.
从一个泉源里面出来,
yuck.
不好喝了,
or you're drinking from the fountain.
或者你从那个喝水的,
and it tastes sour.
它是酸的,
and at the same time, it tastes bitter.
同样的,
it's inconsistent. You go to a water fountain. You expect to taste one thing.
你想,
either really good water. Or you live where my wife and I live. And you drink the water and it tastes really bad. But you simply expect it to be so. You don't expect the inconsistency from the water. And so he gives another metaphor in verse 12. Does a fig tree bear olives? Do lemons grow on apple trees? Of course they don't. You go to an apple tree, you expect to pick an apple from it, correct? You don't expect to pick a lemon from it. Or a pear. or a plum or a grapefruit. It's simply impossible. So why would our tongues speak blessings and curses? It's inconsistent. And so he says, no fountain can yield both salt water and fresh water. And so a tongue is a reflection of the rest of the body. The uncontrolled tongue is dangerous. And the divided tongue is forbidden. Let me show you some specific applications from various scriptures. First of all, we need to be sure that our tongues are speaking truth. Turn to Proverbs chapter
19.
Proverbs chapter 19, I will read verse 5, and then I will read verse
9.
A false witness shall not be unpunished. He that speaks lies shall not escape. A false witness shall not be unpunished. He that speaks lies shall perish. If you are here this morning, if you are professing to be a believer, then the words that come out of your mouth must be words of truth. It is inconsistent to say that I love the truth of God's word, and then to give away your integrity by speaking things that are not true, by speaking lies. And so lying is forbidden for a believer. Gossip is also forbidden. Look back at Proverbs 16:28. This is what Scripture says. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separates chief friends. This is what it means when it says whisperer. The idea is the conception of gossip. And what is gossip? Gossip is simply put, speaking something about another person, usually negative, but not always, when that other person is not around. This can happen in a number of different contexts in church. Perhaps you perceive that someone in the church has a problem. And so you decide to take it on yourself to make it your Christian duty to solve someone else's problem. So in order to get advice on how you're going to deal with this problem, you talk to two or three other people in the church to try to get advice. And maybe you don't even use their name. But there's enough details that everyone knows who you're talking about. It's gossip. And it's wrong. And it can tear apart a church. Gossip can also be when someone else maybe does something that you don't like. And so maybe they offend you. And instead of dealing with it in a biblical fashion, going to that person face to face and saying, this is what you did wrong. You may take it to someone else in the church. Or you take it to a pastor outside of the church. Or you take it to the deacons and say, this person offended me. It's gossip, it's wrong, and your tongue will burn down the church. In a rather literal fashion. Slander is also wrong. And slander is very similar to gossip. And what slander is speaking unkindly about person whether they're there or not. And usually it's something that's untrue or simply misconstruing of the facts. Look in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 31. Ephesians 4, 29 through 31. Look what the Apostle Paul says specifically about the tongue here. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and slander, or evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. So maybe you're here this morning. And you say, you know, I have not been careful with the words that come out of my mouth. But you are quoting from James, who says that the tongue no man can tame. And it must not be that big of a problem if it can't be solved. If this is such a horrible sin, is it possible to change? Let me show you from Scripture how. We'll end with this passage, Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, and obey magistrates, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves were sometimes foolish, deceived, disobedient, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after that the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These are good and profitable unto men. What Paul is saying to Titus is that in the past, we as unbelieving people have struggled with our tongues that no man can tame. But the God of heaven saw fit in His kindness, in His love, in His mercy, in behalf of our sins, sent His Son to die for our sins. And that upon belief in Him, we are justified, our sins have been purged from us. And that He places, what He says, the Holy Spirit in you. And He gives you what He calls the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And so that you can become a person who it's possible to speak evil no man. That the Holy Spirit enables you to be gentle, to show meekness to all men. That you who have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. You can live with a pure tongue. Because of the gospel. That God saw fit in His love and mercy to send His Son. That His Son died for your sins. And that upon belief you receive the Holy Spirit. That you too can live right. So to those here this morning who are believers, you have the Holy Spirit. So watch your mouth. For those here this morning who may not be believers, you are unable to control your mouth. And perhaps you need to come to Christ. And put your faith and trust in Him. Because He paid the price for your sins. And that you too can have the Holy Spirit in your life. So that you too can watch your mouth. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, give us the strength and the ability through Your Spirit in our lives to be careful with the words that come out of our mouths. Let the words of my mouth, O Father, and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in Your sight. Father, I pray that if there's anyone here that has never come to know You personally, that we pray that Your Spirit would already be doing the work of conviction of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And that You would draw them through Your grace to Yourself. We pray this in your son's precious name. Amen.